deadly duplicity in the vaccine industry, including...
Hey, I'm Dr. Len Horowitz. Welcome to the Inside Hour. Sorry we're starting a little late tonight. We're also broadcasting, actually shall be broadcasting in just about a minute on www.love528tv.com, too. So if you care to join us, we're up and running right now. Welcome to the Inside Hour. Every week we cover some of the world's worst news. This week we surely probably should cover this emerging story out of Austria with regard to the swine flu vaccine and Baxter's H5N1 release. That actually there's been a lawsuit that's been filed in the courts of Austria to bring Baxter to accountability with regard to how they can claim that they have accidentally spread the avian flu through vaccinations to at least 18 laboratories throughout Austria and the rest of Europe. So that's kind of like the worst news that we deal with today, genocide. And the best of the best news is also on tap here on the Inside Hour every week. We cover some wonderful things. In fact, last week, this past weekend, we had Live H2O, Concert for the Living Water. So I think we've got some questions from some of our listeners with regard to what was that like for me personally. And if we can open up the phone lines for that purpose, we'd be happy to have you call in and ask whatever questions that you want. Actually, Seth, an engineer, can you tell me what number that we're supposed to be broadcasting tonight for folks? Can't hear you. All right. Anyway, it's usually it's on the website www.bbsradio.com, and the telephone numbers for toll free call in for your questions and comments are on bbsradio.com, Dr. Len Horowitz, and a special show on Tuesday nights is the Inside Hour. Well, let's see. First of all, we're going to give it up to the Creator for the glorious blessings that were provided this weekend. Heavenly Creator, praise you for your glorious blessings. Thanks for being with us all weekend long internationally for Concert for the Living Water and blessing so many people who did such a wonderful job in administering so many beautiful prayers and chants and drumming sessions all over the world. Thank you for the impact that it's had, and I pray that our words, our prayers, and our meditations from our hearts, as well as our numbers, were acceptable to you to make the difference that you had planned for us to make with Concert for the Living Water. In Yeshua's name, I praise you for all the blessings. Amen. So at any rate, this was the first Tuesday night after Concert for the Living Water, and I can tell you that it was a very interesting experience from my position as executive producer for the concert internationally. It was not easy. It was very, very challenging for me. I guess the worst of the worst things that happened during that program for me was the live stream broadcast. Actually, this broadcast that we're currently broadcasting on actually went down at the most critical time of the entire weekend. We lost all of our live stream. Live stream actually stopped working for us right around noon on Sunday. And it was the prayer session at 10 o'clock that was a real blessing. We had a wonderful time. Gemma Bulos had been there from One Drop Foundation, and she sang some beautiful songs. There were about 50 of us down by the water at 10 o'clock in the morning on Long Beach. And that's not a big number, and there were not big numbers, I have to report, from the Long Beach venue. Sunday it got a little bit busy. We had about 1,000 people come on Sunday. And I think prayer on Sunday afternoon that I was with Dr. Emoto, and Dr. Emoto was given the honor of blessing the waters at that time. We had, I'd say, somewhere between 500 and 1,000 people standing with us right on the beach in the water. So that was the best, absolutely the best time for the whole weekend. The worst time for the whole weekend for me was when the Mogulus and our live stream broadcast just decided to just drop out. So I think it did that internationally. I don't think anybody on our broadcasts our nine main venues were able to broadcast during that time, and it stayed down all afternoon. And I'll tell you something, trying to figure it out to try to get it back on was certainly a challenge. We had, not beyond myself, beyond Michael Walton, we had a couple other people that were experts in broadcasting, just not able to do anything. And it just occurs to me, if we do this again next year, there's a great likelihood we will, because of the magnificent things that people have been saying and writing in and giving us thanks. So the likelihood is that we're going to be administering it again next year, God knows when, what date. But the prayer in the evening, right after the prayer at 6 o'clock in the evening, I mean, by the time we got back after chanting, we must have chanted for at least 20 minutes to a half an hour with the rest of the world that were tuned in at that time. What happened was that right after that, the Mogulus live stream broadcasting system came back up, and then we were broadcasting live again. The entertainment was fabulous. Everywhere, all over the world, the entertainment was incredible. And so we're receiving these emails from people that are giving thanks to the entertainers and to the spiritual directors. I heard from Jim Law from Sedona by email today about three times expressing his thanks and how wonderful it was in Sedona with Chaga Rinpoche leading the chants there, and it went out internationally to Jim. So that was a great blessing. And other than that, there was a lot of chaos, a lot of what I would consider mismanaged chaos. And, you know, I can say that comfortably now with it. Happy that we're done. You know, I'm happy that it was over, that we did it. And it was a beautiful event. It was very successful in many, many wonderful ways, including the spirituality of it, the effort to get word, the truth about 528 hertz frequency being the love frequency, being a core creator frequency, the closest thing that we've got going to love, and understanding how the musical mathematical matrix that's akin to the kingdom of heaven in the religious world is so profoundly beautiful and based on mathematics, and it's right here, right now. The glorious blessings were really coming out, and everybody's really getting it. So, you know, I can look back on that as a wonderful experience and say, hey, I'm glad that we did it. But I can tell you, frankly, it was a challenge. First of all, getting that point, getting to the point where we actually had the Thursday night sessions. Very challenging night Thursday night. It ended up in Laguna Beach. We did not have the 300 people that attending that we had hoped for. And the fundraiser for Afghanistani children ended up being a money loser for mostly Sadiq, Tawfiq, and myself, who had put up the money to bring Dr. Emoto in and then to bless the children of Afghanistan with $35 per person with everything, including dinner and musical entertainment and the treasure of Dr. Emoto speaking, and I spoke. So it was really a beautiful event, but the numbers didn't work out quite right. And I think if we do that again next year, it will be done differently. And so, you know, I think I'm ready to move on. I've been working all day in grasping the depth of the lawsuit that was happening, that is currently happening in Austria. I think that the major issue right now is we may have a brewing pandemic with H5N1, with the avian flu, recombined with not just the normal flu or even the swine flu, but also with elements of the Spanish flu virus, H1N1 from the Spanish flu. And the evidence that's coming forth now out of this lawsuit that's been officially filed with the police and the courts of Austria that's claiming the damages. I'm not quite sure what damages that they're actually filing suit for. They may be filing under a different statute for public protection purposes, which would be, I think, appropriate. And I think that the authorities would given a lawsuit, be compelled to investigate, which is something that they haven't been inclined to do. So I think from that perspective, the wonderful people who filed this lawsuit are doing a great public service worldwide. And the issues come down to where the Baxter Corporation shipped to almost 18 laboratories in Austria and many more around Europe, including Czechoslovakia. H5N1 contaminated flu vaccines. And the challenge of that is that the laboratory workers all have to be hospitalized. Apparently, there was enough concern of exposure to the laboratory workers, and this is new revelation for me after reading the legal documents today, that the laboratory workers, about 36 of the laboratory workers, had to be treated preventatively for H5N1 flu. So you have Baxter Corporation who can't explain how it was that H5N1 got into that, and there's the only possible way that it could have was by intention, and that there was somebody in their laboratory, as is written in the court filings, that had to have intentionally put H5N1 into an H3N2, which is the normal flu strain virus that was in a vaccine that was sent to these laboratories for regular flu vaccine testing. Suddenly we've got H5N1 that kills about 62 to 63% more mortality rate associated with that virus. And so it was a huge urgency, and they rushed these 36 laboratory workers to the hospital. So in case any of those people actually received H5N1, in a concoction that was recombining, obviously, with H3N2, the seasonal flu, then those people would be members, and then anybody that they contacted would be likewise at risk. Well, we've got, I think we've got someone phoning in with a question. We've got a caller online, I see. Okay. Welcome to the Inside Hour. Who's called in?
Hi, Len, it's Dean.
Hi, Dean.
Hi. So the question is, how will we know if the experiment worked, and when will we know?
The question is, Dean's asking, Dean, where are you calling from?
Toronto, Ontario.
Okay. Did you attend the Toronto, Ontario events?
I did for about an hour down at City Hall.
How were they? Were they nice at City Hall?
Oh, it was lovely. I wish there was more people there, but it was nice.
That's great. Well, the question is, how will we know whether it's worked or not? You know, I think that the sense, personal sense that I get, I mean, obviously there's no research tools that we currently have. There were some studies that were ongoing, actually waiting to hear from Jonathan Goldman, who promised to have folks from a research organization who were engaged in behavioral assessments to actually track some of the social behavioral indicators that would suggest or not that this experiment worked. So I'll reserve total final judgment until I get some solid data. But the most amazing thing that's passed my desk, I don't know if you've seen this, Dean, but there was on June the 21st, on Sunday, the day that we did the prayers, there was the most incredible formation in the UK that was photographed. And it was a mind blower to me because it was almost like a direct message to me. It was a direct message to us. If you look at the crop circle, and I don't have it up yet, and I'm sure that we'll probably get it up on the hdo.org website, probably when we post the rest of the thank you letters. That shows a double yin-yang symbol in a spiraling vortexing double figure eight, which is really amazing, because when you look at those numbers as to what we were singing in 528, you know, the yin-yang symbol, if you've studied Love, the Real Da Vinci Code, or you've studied the book Walk on Water, the standing gravitational wave of the universe, it's kind of like it's been produced by Hartmut Müller, Russia's top space-time physicist, and he talks about in that standing gravitational wave of the universe, there are six nodes, out of which, in the nodes, the energy vortices of those nodes is where Müller says all of physical reality manifests. And so if you read those books that I just mentioned, you'll see what I did was I superimposed the six core creative frequencies from the original solfeggio, the ut, re, mi, fa, sol, la. The mi and fa, center of the six. Three and four is the center of the six. So mi, fa, mi regestorum in Latin, miracles in English, is 528. And fa, family torum in Latin, the holy family or the legally appointed family in English, is the fourth note with a frequency of 639. Now, if you take those frequencies, 528 and 639, and reduce them to their single digits, integers, you get 6, 9, which when you put those together, a 6 and a 9, you've got the yin-yang symbol. And so that's, you know, that's been on my mind quite a bit. And, of course, the concept of what we were doing on Sunday was giving praise and glory to the Creator through the living water. So it was all about the Creator's number, the eights. You know, the element number eight is oxygen, and hydrogen is one, so that's nine, that's completion. So there's your nine. The symbol for nine is spiraling up from earth into the wholeness of heaven, okay? And six is a manifestation symbol. The six is actually why there's 666. 3 times 6 is 18. 1 plus 8 is 9. There's completion again. But the sixes are actually miraculous manifestation numbers to bring things spiraling down from heaven into the wholeness of earth. So that's what we were doing. We were literally praying to element, you know, number one and eight, to the Creator's element, Creator's water, to bring from heaven a blessing to earth, to bring us in communion divine, so that we would basically transition back up to the wholeness of heaven and join the Creator in this celebration, what was in the Christian theology akin to the marriage between the mature congregation, this mature bride finally coming to meet and commune with Yeshua, with Jesus, and in the Messianic age, for the Messianic age, where we live on with peace on earth for 1,000 years, that this concept of marrying our hearts to the living water, when Jesus said, drink of me, I bear the living water that shall sustain you eternally. That's from John, I believe. And so this concept of what we were doing was all about this, and this beautiful, incredible crop circle that lays out this whole story in the most amazing image. I've never seen a crop circle like that. And so it seems to me, if you ask me right now, what evidence is there that we had any impact, I would have to refer you to that crop circle. Because obviously something, someone, some spiritual entities on the other side, and if you know anything about crop circles, they're caused by electromagnetic frequency disturbances that actually affect the crops. So the crops fold over. They actually just, they're hit, they're zapped with electromagnetic radiation, in essence. And the crops just like fold. And so that's what happened. And it came out to this most magnificent graphic display of double eights, spiraling, spinning double eights with two huge yin-yang symbols at the center of it. So check that out.
Hey, Len?
Yeah.
Len, have you got, because we had so much technical trouble, like, I got to admit, I was disappointed because I was on all weekend and I didn't get to see anything except your program streaming, which, of course, is great, but would have liked to see you. This happened in Long Beach, but have you, I'm sorry, I'm having technical troubles here myself, but you're saying this happened in Long Beach where you were, right?
We had technical problems. The question Dean's asking for those of you who are watching over the www.love528tv.com right now, Dean's asking about the technical difficulties that we had broadcasting Concert for the Living Water. And the principal problem was that the live stream went down internationally. Our brother Tim in Edmonton, who it appears that Tim next year is going to be the executive producer, and it appears that Tim, who had probably the most successful and largest venue in the world, is going to take over as executive producer for Concert for the Living Water. We'll still have to set a date. I think we're going to set a date by August. And even his very expensive satellite went down. Now, he was thinking that it was the satellite, but he wrote me back later this afternoon that because it was reported by Jim Law that he also had difficulty, that everybody had difficulty. Remember Roxy Hampton in Hawaii, they went down as well. And it occurred.
I saw a bit of that, actually. I saw a bit of her technical problems she was having.
Yeah. So, you know, what happened was we maintained audio. It seemed most of the venues maintained an audio signal throughout, or at least, recurring, coming back with audio. But the video all dropped out. And frankly, I think it was an inside job. I really do.
Sorry to interrupt you. I was wondering if this was going to happen before the concert. I had thought of this. I mean, we had the power go down. You know, remember that power outage, you know?
Yeah. You know, I think it was an inside job. I think somebody got to people in Moglis or the Moglis live stream system. You know, Moglis has a exclusive contract with YouTube. And we were using that, and we were using it well, and we tested all the systems. Jim Law was really highly responsible in getting everybody internationally to actually test on Wednesday and Thursday all of our systems. Everything seemed to be working beautifully. And I know when I have done YouTube videos, like, for example, that YouTube video that I did on the special report on the Mexican flu, you know, we had in 30 hours nearly 100,000 people view that YouTube upload. But I can tell you, as we tracked it, there were hours that would go by that the numbers didn't change at all. They had to upgrade the numbers. And so they actually are not highly, I think, reputable. I don't believe that those numbers are actually reliable. And for, I believe anyone that does the kind of work that we're doing, whether it's revealing the bad news, the military, medical, petrochemical, pharmaceutical genocide that's ongoing, and the perpetrators of that wickedness, those, I believe, can be censored and or stopped or at least manipulated in terms of the numbers so that the popularity goes down or does not appear to be reflecting a large population. And I think possibly that may have happened with Live H2O. So I think next year, the lesson that I personally learned is that I can't simply depend on one system. I think for next year, we've got to have a backup system. And so it's a recommendation that I'm going to be making to our brother Tim in Edmonton. What else, Dean?
Hey, Len. Len, I only heard part of the yin-yang story, but it sounds great. I'm sorry. Again, I had technical things here. I think what happens is when you raise your voice into the mic, the system overloads or something. It's like the front end is overloading. Anyway, it's an amateur technical tip for you. But
are you watching
anyone catch any stills of or videos of this the whole event, like outside of the you know, personal or
yeah? Well, let me just repeat that. Yeah, Dean is asking whether there's any film footage of this weekend from around the world, and the answer is yes. We've got a ton of it. We've just got a mountain of video. It's going to be coming in. Yeah, we're going to be starting to go through it. I'm meeting this week with a couple documentary film producers, and we're just going to be getting an organization treatment plan for the video footage that we have, and we are going to be receiving more, a lot more. People from all over the world, even small venues that were not even listed. By the time we finished on Thursday night, when I basically put everything on automatic and I put my mail on auto respond, we had about 76 or 78 venues. And the venues were coming in during the weekend, but they were just being, you know, rejected because we just were done with the preliminary planning for the event. And many of those venues took film, and they know that we would like to see those, and we would like to have contributions. Some of it is miraculous. The film footage, I don't know if you had a chance to see White Eagle Medicine Woman's magnificent Sea of Galilee footage, where she's playing grandmother drum with a group of people as they're singing and praying and chanting and playing the drum. There is the most remarkable tetrahedron that formed like a pyramid of light that came down with the sun right where the camera was, and the sun was setting. It created this incredible tetrahedron or pyramid that literally totally encased the grandmother drum and the group of people that were singing and chanting. That was amazing. I know that we got so many beautiful pictures and video footage from the Long Beach venue. It was fabulous. So there's just a ton of great video. I understand that Reverend Roxy and Zion Estes and Galen Ray are also reporting that they shot some incredible, just real spiritual moments. And so I think that what we have potentially right now is the footage for having a magnificent documentary.
Oh, I'm really glad to hear that. I'm really glad because, I knew there was a negative element that took place. And I'm glad to hear that it doesn't matter whether we see it live, but as long as we see it, speak my mind.
Well, you know, I want to just add to the question and the comment that you have that, you know, it wasn't easy, and there was some negative, there was spiritual warfare going on. And even before there was spiritual warfare, or at least as a reflection of spiritual warfare, there was really a lot of human warfare going on. There was at every single venue, there were major personality clashes, ego challenges, lots of fear, lots of conceptualizing scarcity, lots of challenged faith. There was the whole gamut of dramatic human emotions.
What was going on? Give us examples.
Well, you know, without citing any names, you know, every single program director, venue coordinator, had people that would literally take responsibility on and just totally drop the ball for no reasonable rational explanation. You know, we had one of our film people, why we didn't broadcast from the beach at 10 a.m., and it was a beautiful ceremony, and we did have film footage down there when we were having it, but we were supposed to be broadcasting. The person who was in charge of broadcasting that segment, you know, allegedly didn't take the time to realize that the traffic might be a problem getting to Long Beach from where they were coming from. So that's just one tiny example. Multiply that by 500, because there were really close to 500 people in all of the different organizations with close to 80 venues, you know, with obviously 10 people at least working. I mean, in Long Beach, there was about 40 volunteers. So you multiply that number of egos times any one of the coordinators who had to deal with the egos to try to get the jobs done. And so from me, looking at it from, you know, an inside position, it was not easy. It was not easy. And I am not looking forward to doing it again. You know, I think Tim is probably a better administrator, or at least I pray he'll be a better administrator for next year's concert. But again, I have a great deal of difficulty dealing with people who say one thing and do another. Even though they are lovely people, their hearts are in the right place, they want to make a difference, they're loving and spirit-filled, and they are joyful people, but there's also this very practical requirement of being in integrity and being responsible for something that you say, because, you know, the words, look at how important words are. Words are our law in the universe that we create and co-create with Creator. If the Creator creates through the spoken word, why would we, the children, not create that way? So, you know, I can tell you as a behavioral science expert, there is always consistently only three things that cause all of the upsets in life. One is thwarted expectations, unfulfilled expectations, and undelivered communications. Those are the three. So every single time anyone gets upset in your life, always look for which one of those factors, those upset factors, happen. And so it's based on the understanding that we're advancing with the Concert for the Living Water and with Love, the Real Da Vinci Code, and with the material that we're sharing now on YouTube even, that the words, the creative lips, the instruments for creation are the labiaratum. And so if we have an intention to do something and we say we're going to do it, if we don't do it, it's just going to create a lot of problems for a lot of people. And so despite the fact that we're surrounded in the Concert for the Living Water by loving people, glorious beings who wanted to contribute, a lot of them failed. A lot of them let a lot of people down in a lot of different ways. In Long Beach, for example, I can tell you that the mainstream media were not alerted effectively. Part of the reason why we didn't get large crowds is because there were virtually no major radio interviews. You know, I know when I do seminars, the people who are organizing those seminars, they set up radio interviews. And ahead of time, weeks in advance, they notify me that my time is requested on radio for promoting the event. And I'm always happy to do that as part of a support. Well, I didn't have one radio interview from anywhere except for Sherry Beal. But that was almost 2 months ago. From KPFK, and the discussion was not on Live H2O, it was on the swine flu. So literally I did not one single radio show in the Long Beach area or the L.A. area. The L.A. Times had nothing, no coverage whatsoever. And, you know, I can hear what some of the people have said is that, well, we notified them, we sent them press releases, because I did, I had a number of people tell me that they did. But, you know, a professional publicist or somebody who takes on the role of a professional publicist would literally hound the calendar section editor. They would literally hound them until they saw a result. And that's what a good publicist is paid to do. And so, you know, we weren't dealing with professionals. We were dealing with all volunteers. And, you know, some people have given me maybe appropriate criticism, saying, hey, just take it easy. These are all volunteers. What do you expect? You know, nobody's been getting paid anything. And to me, I hear that, and I hear the reason and rationale to that. But there's another part of me that knows who we're serving here. We're serving the Creator, you know. And personally, I feel like, gee whiz, if the Creator tells me to do anything, you know, just like get this job done, whatever the job, whether it's cleaning a toilet or whether it's, you know, public relations for Concert for the Living Water, I'm going to do the best job that I could possibly do, and I'm going to drive myself to the max, you know, being uplifted in the service, because it's a joyful service of what it is that we're doing. So, you know, I'm a little different than a lot of people, obviously, and, you know, I don't want to be critical, I don't want to be harsh, but, you know, it occurs to me that if we're advancing now, everything that we were doing for Concert for the Living Water and everything that this community now that we've basically joined as brothers and sisters from a divine family, everything is geared to what will our lives, our relationships, our community, our lifestyles be like in the Messianic Age. In the Messianic Age, where there's nothing missing, nothing broken, the kingdom of heaven comes down to earth. Word is law. The frequency vibrations of these creative instruments, the lips, is a law. It's got to be 100% dependable. Because there can't be any upsets. When there's peace, when there's shalom, when the lion lies down with the lamb in the Messianic Age, there can't be any upsets. So the question becomes, where are we going wrong now? And how can we basically remedy the challenges that create the tragedies that we're living? And the sadness and the frustration and the anger in these interpersonal relationships, all based on thwarted expectations or unfulfilled expectations, thwarted intentions, and undelivered communications, those three things have got to disappear completely in the world that you and I are envisioning. You know, with this concept of peace on earth, where the lion lies down with the lamb, where we're in love, we're not in fear, we're not in anxiety, we're in peace, we're in optimal productivity. And so to me, as a, you know, declared prophet, people have declared me a prophet. I assume now, you know, there was a time that I resisted that label and even that responsibility, and now I simply accept it, you know. But I can tell you, as a prophet, I have a challenge with it. I have a challenge with it. And I have gone through this weekend. I think the personal lesson that I've most learned myself this weekend is to be more detached from circumstance than ever before in my life. I think that that is a true lesson that I've learned. I think I feel that in my heart more than ever. I think I'm never going to get as angry as I have been in the past, even if it's, I consider it righteous indignation. I think I'm just going to get where people are at and what things, what's happening at the time that they're happening, and I'm just going to be able to be more able to go with the flow. Just go with the flow and recognize on some level, on a divine level, that the people did the best that they could do, given the circumstances, and that in the divine plan, it was all perfect anyway. So, you know, that's the lesson
everything
that
you're
I can get
talking
out
about,
of.
Though, I mean, it isn't easy. I mean, you're putting your whole heart into this. And how do you, you know, do both all at the same time? It's, what can I say, you know?
Yeah, you know, there were times this weekend that I really just wanted to cry, you know. And yesterday, it was literally, I walked around like yesterday, like I had a hangover. You know, I had nothing to drink. It was just this intense spiritual experience all weekend long. But I felt like my heart almost had a hangover and my head had a hangover. I don't get headaches. I never get headaches. I had a headache last night, you know. And Jackie, my beloved wife, said, "Have you had enough water?" And I said, "Yeah, I've had a lot of water today, but I still have a headache." You know, so, and I think it has to do with my own growth, my own development, and, you know, I'm trying my best to implement the lessons. I really pray that we'll be able to, within the next couple years, start walking on water. I believe I have faith enough that I can see us. Not just me, you know, I'm not walking on water yet, so I'm certainly not elevated, uplifted fully in my light body in communion with the Messiah or the Creator, that I can defy gravity in that way. But this whole concept of enlightenment and this concept of being part of the light body and what's required to transcend the horrific prospects that we're looking at as a planet here, not so much with the avian flu or even nuclear weapons, but this concept of their cosmic radiation coming in 3 years really has taken my heart, because it comes from fairly legitimate sources. You know, I'm looking at scientists who are very reputable, and you know, David Dare and this new internet communication from the United States Navy retired physics expert whose predictions based on the mathematics of the cosmic radiation and the solar diminishing of protection of planet Earth from cosmic radiation, plus adding to that solar flares that are timed to hit us heavily in 2012. That it occurs to me that to sustain ourselves in that kind of a world, Jesus' prophecy that you will do more than one, and the prophecy that a time will come when you'll be on this planet but no longer of it, that it occurs to me that that has both psychosocial ramifications and implications such as what we're witnessing now that we can't relate to. We can't really relate to the ignorance on this planet. We can't relate to the genocide on this planet. We can't relate to the politicians that are literally conducting germ warfare and environmental degradation and intoxication for population reduction. We can't conceive that this is of a loving, normal life, and that most people think it's normal. And so that's one element. And then the next element is to be on this planet, but no longer of it, means that you've got to enter your light body. You've got to be able to transcend, you know, the flesh, the physical. You know, you got to get out of this body into a spirit that is, I've experienced it a half a dozen times already when I've had real death or near-death experiences. I've told many people many times in many lectures that there's no reasonable explanation, at least a half a dozen times that I'm aware of, And God knows how many other times I'm not even aware of that I was saved by angels to do this work that we're doing right now. But I can tell you that the concept of there being parallel universes, that is a energy planes in which angels fare and fly around, that is real. That's very, very real to me. It's not against flesh and blood with whom we do battle, and it's not simply this physical world in which we tread. And so I think what we've got to look at is purifying this body in every way, opening our hearts up to the power of love and this magnificent light that comes literally from that energy vortex from the Creator's heavenly domain. You know, we see it when we're going through death experiences. You know, it's like that canal filled with light, going into the light. You've heard that many, many times. It's completely consistent with all the reported near-death or real-death experiences that patients in surgical procedures have come back and told about. There's many, many scientific reports now on that subject. The light is what Jesus was obviously tuned to. There's a broadcast frequency of divinity that allowed him to transcend physical gravitational reality to be able to walk on water. And I believe that that's where we now must go for evolving spiritually and sustaining and surviving physically what is about to come down on this planet over the next 3 years, leading up to December 21st, 2012. And again, the prayer that I prayed is just like King David prayed in Psalms. You know, may the words from my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O glorious Creator. That was what my mantra has been this past weekend, because I've been praying for 144,000 people, and I added that our numbers would be sufficient to satisfy you, Creator, to write us, we, your humble, loving children, into the book of life, into this messianic age. That's what my prayer was, and, you know, it will remain. It will be the same, God willing, next year when Tim from Edmonton takes over as executive producer for Live H2O. I'll have the same prayer next year again. Anyway, Dean, thanks for joining us tonight from Toronto. And I'm so happy that you guys in Toronto had a wonderful experience this weekend. And give my love to our sister there, beautiful Sister Rosita Stone, who administered this blessing, and to Brett, who came in at the last minute to make Live H2O Toronto happen. At this point, I want to also give thanks to our sponsors for BBS Radio and the people that put out, I'd have to tell you, somewhere between $50,000 and $60,000 to make Live H2O happen. Folks, thanks for helping us through HealthyWorldStore.com and OxySilver.com. Thank you for your purchases. All of that money went to good use with Concert for the Living Water. Well, we're about out of time, so I'm going to leave it up to Don Nikoloff. Brother Don is coming up on Evident Footprints to carry the rest of the night through on BBS Radio. Thanks to Seth and Engineering and to the Newsom Boys for BBS Radio. Until next Tuesday night, I'm Dr. Len Horowitz saying thanks for joining us. God bless you and the rest of this magnificent planet. Now that we've had the concept of living water, let's swim in the glory of our Creator forever and ever.